Moses was taking care of the flock for his father-in-law Jethro, a Midian's priest. He led his flock out to the edge of the desert, and he came to God's mountain called Horeb. The Lord's messenger appeared to him in a flame of fire in the middle of a bush. Moses saw that the bush was in flames, but it didn't burn up. Then Moses said to himself, "Let me check out this amazing sight and find out why the bush isn't burning up." When the Lord saw that he was coming to look, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." Moses said, "I'm here." Then the Lord said, "Don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, because you are standing on holy ground." He continued, "I am the God of your father, Abraham's God, Isaac's God, and Jacob's God." Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I've clearly seen my people oppressed in Egypt. I've heard their cry of injustice because of their slave masters. I know about their pain. I've come down to rescue them from the Egyptians in order to take them out of that land and bring them to a good and broad land, a land that's full of milk and honey, a place where the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites all live. Now the Israelites' cries of injustice have reached me. I've seen just how much the Egyptians have oppressed them. So get going. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I to go to Pharaoh and to bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God said, "I'll be with you, and this will show you that I'm the one who sent you. After you bring the people out of Egypt, you will come back here and worship God on this mountain."
Happy Pride. June is Pride Month. It is a time where people feel empowered to live out and display their truth. One of the many things I look forward to each year are the Pride playlists that people create on Spotify. They include the newest hits, dance mixes, and of course, all the traditional Pride anthems. Pride Month is my second favorite time of year at Highlands, right behind Advent. I like Pride Month at Highlands because A, I'm excited to see what Kay Davey comes up with for the altar, and B, because I think we have a pretty great playlist of songs that we sing and live into each year together. I know we sing many of these songs throughout the year, yet I feel we breathe new life into them when we sing them in June. Pride is recognized in the United States to honor and remember the Stonewall Riots, which occurred at the end of June in 1969. Now, on a side note, there is not a Pride Month that is recognized internationally, since many Pride celebrations take place in February, August, and September. In the early morning hours of on June 28, 1969, the police raided the Stonewall Inn, a bar in the Greenwich Village neighborhood of New York City. What made this incident different from previous police raids was that the members of the queer community fought back. This encounter, often described as where Pride began, incited an uprising and a movement that was built around resistance and revolution. Pride Month is a time for celebration, honoring the past, loving who we are, and teaching people about the victories that the movement has achieved. Yet at the same time, Pride Month is complicated. We have to acknowledge the progress that has been made, but have to say out loud, to remind ourselves and to inform others, that there are still millions of people all over the world who are persecuted simply by living into their truth and into the image that God created them to be. The coming out process deserves to be one of the most profound and spiritual acts that a queer person has. As we know, the coming out process is not that way for so many people. For so many people, it requires a rewiring of every single thing that they were taught and told from people growing up, from ideas of how religion is supposed to work, and pressure to fit into the stereotypical image of the gender that one was assigned at birth. There are countless amounts of people all over the world who simply cannot, whether it is because they don't have a support system, the knowledge, or the resources to integrate the views that they were raised with the person they know themselves to be. I am eternally thankful and fall on my knees grateful that I was given the space that allowed me to express and experience my coming out as one of the most profound experiences of my life. Followed by the adoption process and becoming Nora's dad, but that's a different sermon. So, it was during my sophomore year of high school that I asked my parents if I could go back to therapy. They helped me find someone, and after a few months, they asked if I could share with them what is going on. I told them that I was struggling with being gay. Now, it was the fall of my senior year that I officially came out. It was during that stint in therapy that I was able to put into context the feelings I remember having way back in first grade. Our class hosted an exchange student from Germany, and the time came for him to go back home. I remember getting into my mom's car after school and feeling so sad that Benjamin was leaving. I had a crush on him. So skipping ahead to my first year of college, I was in Borders Books in downtown Victoria, British Columbia, where I attended my first 2 years, and I came across this book titled Coming Out Spiritually, The Next Step. So I was extremely intrigued, not only because of my own experience, but also because I'm a pastor's kid, and I knew that my own coming out experience was one of the most spiritual things that I have ever experienced, and in reality, had never felt closer to God. I would like to share a snippet from Coming Out Spiritually, The Next Step. Coming out is a profoundly spiritual act. Coming out means letting go. Letting go of fear, letting go of limitation, letting go of anything and everything that has held us back or anything we've been grabbing onto. It's about rejecting the lies and embracing the truth, whatever the consequences. Coming out is an act of courage and an act of love. It means relinquishing our self-protection, casting off the illusion of security, and allowing ourselves to be who we are, regardless of what anyone else says or thinks we should be or do. Although it can be easy for others to see when we are not being ourselves, no one but ourselves can tell us who we are. Coming out spiritually is about letting go. It means rejecting feelings of shame or embarrassment because we are on a conscious spiritual path. Wow. Coming out is about the awareness of the conscious spiritual path that we are on. The beauty of this definition is that it encompasses everyone. Doesn't matter how you identify. Everyone experiences a coming out of some sort in their lives. We are all born with a voice, but not all voices are encouraged and supported. Coming out is about finding, reclaiming, and owning your voice, or whichever form of expression that one is able to portray. Moses was raised in Egypt as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had everything he could ever want. He had the luxuries of an ultra-privileged life, the best education, carried military status, and was essentially a prince of Egypt. One day, he witnessed an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. And for obvious reasons, this made Moses upset, as he had witnessed someone of power humiliating someone else. Moses looked around to be sure no one was there and killed the Egyptian. The following day, Moses encountered another fight between two men, and one of them confronted Moses by saying, "Who made you a boss or judge of me? Are you planning to kill me like you killed the Egyptian?" Now that comment stopped Moses in his tracks. He was scared and realized that people must know what he had done. The only way out that Moses saw for himself was to run away from Egypt and run for his life, which led him to finding himself. Now, a lot of time has passed. The text says 40 years. Moses was taking care of a flock of sheep that belonged to his father-in-law when the Lord's messenger appeared to him in a flame of fire in the middle of a bush. The bush was on fire, yet it didn't burn up. Moses was intrigued by this and wanted to figure out why and how the bush wasn't engulfed. The Lord called to Moses from the bush, "Moses, Moses." And all Moses could say was, "I'm here. I'm here." "Take off your sandals," the Lord requested, "for you are standing on holy ground." The Lord tells Moses, "I've heard their cry of injustice. I know about their pain, and I've come to rescue them from the Egyptians. I'm sending you to lead my people out of Egypt." "For you are standing on holy ground," I've heard their cry of injustice. I know about their pain. Those three sentences carry a lot of weight with deep, deep meaning. Now, I have to think that Moses was afraid and maybe even ashamed of his actions. Why would God be asking me to help free his people? I committed such a terrible act. God speaks to Moses again and says, I'll be with you. God knew Moses' heart. God knew that he had lost his way, lost his voice, and was afraid. God trusted in Moses and led him down a path that gave him the opportunity to discover his own courage, to right his wrongs, and to experience second chances. Coming out, letting go of fear, rejecting the lies, embracing your truth is a second chance gifted from God. Now, has there been a time where you felt you were standing on holy ground? I've been trying to answer this question for myself, and I keep coming back to the first time that I had marched in the Denver Pride Parade. Now, this may sound a little silly and may be a stretch for what is considered holy ground, yet my experience was powerful. I grew up in Aurora and often would come downtown with my family for plays, movies, and other festive events during the holidays. So even though I grew up in Aurora, I also had a connection to Denver. The first time I marched in the Denver Pride Parade was while I was singing with the Denver Gay Men's Chorus. We had just turned onto Colfax from Franklin Street and started marching while performing some of our choreography, all while laughing, singing, and dancing together. Now, it wasn't until I saw the cathedral on my right, the Capitol building on my left, and Civic Center Park right in front of me that I had an out-of-body experience. Here I was, marching in the Pride Parade down Colfax Avenue in the city I grew up in as an out and proud gay person. In that moment, Denver felt like my own city and that I was invincible. So, have I ever stood on holy ground? I may venture and say I have. I believe there was a part of Moses that knew he had to leave Egypt in order to find his voice. A piece of him was missing. He was human. He probably felt depressed, like he was the worst person on earth, and that he had really messed up his life by some of his actions. And Moses, like all of us, felt fear, had self-doubt. Yet when he came across the burning bush, he witnessed an invitation. It was an invitation for him to come out, to find and be proud of his voice, and let go of fear. And for him and the world, the invitation was to experience redemption. We don't find our voice because we're perfect. We find our voice because we lost it. Using our voice is not about getting our way, but rather about being and living into full and whole humanity. Moses was given an opportunity to experience life anew, with a new voice, and that changed the history of the world. The courage of Moses can be seen in people all around us even today, as people use their voices to shout that Black lives matter, Asian lives matter, trans lives matter. May we, together, have the courage to let go of our fear, speak truth to power, speak love to our neighbors. And I believe when we walk into this way of being in the world, we can be proud of our voice. Amen.